Emily Brown, this is crazy shit in real estate, but today, actually, I think I'm just in a mood to have conversational random chats. Today, we have Joe Killinger, who is from LA County in California. He's a commercial broker, so he's got some insights whether you're investing. I told him to get out his crystal ball about the market, and basically, I had to teach him what TLDR means, and so this middle-aged mom took it up a notch. Enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Tell the audience a little bit. Who is Joe Killinger? My audience may never have heard of you. Tell them why they should.
I've been in the business a long time. I started off in a real estate auction business in the early 90s. And when that started to dry up, I had to actually go get another career. And, you know, I started a career that I knew wasn't going to be long lasting. So you kind of work as fast and hard as you can, but you're also learning then. Then I moved into commercial real estate. And I've been in commercial real estate since the mid 90s, all based out of Los Angeles. I'm a partner in Commercial Brokers International. We have our brokerage. It's a full service brokerage. We've done deals in 36 states, I believe 37, do a lot of triple net sales, but we are full service here in Los Angeles. I have a great team. They're annoying me a lot. So, you know, I think that's a good thing because I probably do the same to them. But we also have this website that you have over here that I put out because when I was going through this phase, this transition from auctions to real estate, I had a lot of questions. And the internet was just in its infancy stages. And so there really wasn't a good way to really learn. And I just vowed then that when I had the opportunity, I would create a place that people could go and really learn about real estate. It's really geared more towards commercial real estate. There's so much content on residential, but we're in the process now of adding more CRMs because people ask for CRM references, books that we have. I've asked a bunch of top producers, you know, what are your favorite books? We put that on the website now. And then places for, actually, Lee, if you could email me a place to take classes to get your real estate license in your area. Because people call and say, hey, where do I go to get my real estate license? I want to create a place that people can go to get their real estate license. You can just click on it and go directly.
Very good.
So if you can email me that later.
I will. So let's just talk about that for a second, because a lot of people, when they hear commercial real estate, they just immediately think of suits and neckties, and it's so big and it's so different, because residential real estate, of course, is all the emotion and the warm and fuzzies and the TV shows. And frankly, you don't see many TV shows about commercial, but you could, because you guys have probably more squatters than we do. But in the reality of commercial space, what's the future of the commercial space? Because in the last 2.5 years of the COVID era, I think even regular people are noticing where there's vacant storefronts. They notice the change in commerce has gone so heavily towards the internet and Amazon and away from the mom and pop shop. So what's the outside of the big monolith? Well, first of all, I won't say it's a monolith. To the consumer, commercial real estate's a monolith.
Right.
To the real estate pro, we know it's hospitality, retail, wholesale, warehouse, industrial. I mean, everything is a niche market. Commercial is wildly specific. But what is the future, do you think? And what are you guys forecasting, not just in LA County and Orange County, but beyond?
Well, I guess let's start with industrial, because that's where I think we're going to see the biggest change. Because just this week, I had two conversations with people that are saying that industrial is in for a big change.
In what way? Up, down, sideways? What kind of change?
That they are saying that the way retail is, you know, e-commerce is changing. Everybody's crystal ball.
Tell us what's in here.
Yeah, exactly. They're figuring out that e-commerce really needs the brick and mortar. You have to have it to survive. And the king of that, and is really proving them right, is Macy's. Macy's has been a very good path to follow. Yeah, it's really
we're getting the big distribution center.
Are you?
Giant corporate one is relocating to China Grove, North Carolina, right here.
Yeah, they're really doing it well. I mean, it's what you're seeing is, you know, it was going the way retail is changing is they're building a lot of fulfillment centers closer to their stores. So there's going to be, and they're going to be smaller fulfillment centers. And I talked to an investor earlier this week where he has actually just bought brands. I don't know if you know who Ty Lopez is, but he bought Radio Shack, Modell's.
He bought Radio Shack?
Yeah. Well, the brand.
I was like, yeah,
There's no locations. But what they're going to do is go in and completely rework it. And they're going to have all these brands in one location with a fulfillment center in the back. So they can go directly from the port to the fulfillment center instead of port, warehouse, fulfillment center. And I mean, that's where a lot of people are heading right now. So Amazon announced that they had overbuilt on their warehouses. You know, there's a lot of building going on. So they're afraid that there's going to be some overbuilt. So the thing with commercial is you can repurpose it, right? If you can chop up the industrial. If you got 100,000 square feet, you can chop it up into, you know, five or six different warehouses, depending on how the doors and the power and all that. Now, so warehouse, I think we're going to see some changes, but retail is staying strong. I mean, it just seems to be, I mean, obviously with what we're going through with the economy right now, you saw that Target and a couple other stores of some earnings were down, but then some other were up. That's kind of a roller coaster. You know, we're trying to figure that one out. But higher
end. I can point out some reasons that some of those locations do poorly.
It's the location, 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 right?
Right.
I mean, it's if I'm in mom and pop coffee shop, which I'm shocked that our phone's ringing today. We do a lot of marketing with our commercial brokerage. And so our phones ring, we get a good number of leads. And but mom and pops that are wanting to open, you know, we're seeing this negative news every day, right? But people are still, I'm ready to go into business. And they still want the prime locations. And the prime locations are tough, you know, tough to find. So office is something that I'm a little concerned about. I think you're going to see some of that repurposed. They're, you know, they'll take the bigger offices, chop them up and turn them into, they'll rent some of the spaces out shorter term.
So do you think that the large corporate office will scale back by a half as they go to flex time? Don't think it's that much?
No, I don't think it's going to be that much. You're talking to a lot of these people. You know, our media is always, it's the damnedest thing. You can go on globest.com every day and see an article about, oh, how office is dead. Office is dead. Then the next day, office leasing is up.
Never listen to the mainstream media ever.
I swear to God. So I'm going by what the agents are saying. We get, and it's probably our lightest asset class, is office. We don't get a ton of people saying, I want a bunch of space. But we don't have people anymore saying, hey, I want to downsize. You know, instead, what they've done is they've taken their space and they've made the offices bigger or the spaces between desks bigger, just accommodating. And so, you know, the thing with commercial, there's still a lot of emotion in commercial. If you take a small business operator and they start struggling, you'd be surprised the emotion you get.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a little different than the
big guys
of the world. So are leases now pretty standard allowing sublets so that somebody in an office environment can be flexible if they need to?
Some landlords are, some landlords aren't. I mean, we've still got a lot of inflexibility. It's just they're not that flexible out here in Los Angeles. They haven't been, you know, the geography here. So I don't know, what are we, 9-10 million people in Los Angeles now? And there's just no more land. Yet people are still coming here. I mean, obviously we see the corporations leaving, but people are still coming. So we can't really build anything more. So our occupancy is staying pretty good. Now you get out to the Inland Empire, it's a bit of a different story, but there's a lot more land to build stuff. But LA proper is staying pretty strong. The last recession, I think we went down 8%, 9%. So we're usually the last ones in and the first ones out. Right. And so, you know, it's a lot of it's just population and size.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel costs at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now. And it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. So let me ask you a question about you already kind of briefly scooted past the repurposing concept. We're seeing more and more chatter about that. And when I think of repurposing, my mind goes in two directions. The first one is seeing a big box store like a former Walmart or grocery store turning into self-storage, which I think is just a really elegant repurposing. Mm-hmm. But you also see this talk about our shopping malls where you and I used to go back in the 80s to have as a center of community, and they're not anymore. The shopping mall, I haven't been in one in ages that was 100% occupied. But there's talk about those turning into a repurposed residential space or something along those lines. So what are you seeing in that trend? Is it coming to light or is it still just talk?
Well, we don't have any malls really in Southern California. We have a couple. They're just too big.
Where'd the malls go?
We have, they've all been repurposed already. Actually, the one of the football teams, I don't know if the Chargers or Rams are buying one of the last ones out here in the Valley. It's going to be a training center. But I've seen they were leasing them up and using drone races across in these malls.
Drone races?
So, they were doing some of the smaller malls. They turned it into like a skating place. There's two levels, people to skate around. It was brilliant. You know, the mall, but then you go to the Grove that's here in central around Hollywood, the Fairfax district. It's packed every weekend. And it's just, you know, the guy that owns that's running for mayor. The guy knows how to market.
Right.
He knows how to market. And
is it an outside pedestrian access mall, or is it an interior hallway mall like we grew up in?
No, outdoor.
I think that's the difference maker right there, is how much of it is individual feeling versus mall.
Yeah, that mall is, the numbers are incredible. In Dallas, Texas, the Highland Park Village Mall, I mean, every time I'm there, it's crazy. If it's done right, here's the thing in real estate, and I think over the last several years, right? So we came out of the last recession, the end of 2009. From 2010 to now, if you haven't made money in real estate or in the stock market, maybe going forward, you know.
You should get a better advisor.
Yeah, you might want to do something, because we got to get back to the fundamentals. And it goes back to, you know, in the dot-com bubble out here in Los Angeles, we had a lot of young people running around, and I was one at that time, you know, running around talking about how smart they are building these websites and the way they invest. And Warren Buffett doesn't know what he's doing. And, you know, he's too old school. He should just retire. And they're gone. And Warren Buffett is still doing his thing.
He's in good shape,
And then we went through the young kids doing the apps, you know, and they were kind of the same thing. Warren Buffett needs to retire. And, you know, Warren made a good comment the other day, because I'm 92. Eventually, I'm going to prove that they're going to be right, because I won't be here. But those are all gone. But you have to remember the fundamentals. He looks at the fundamentals, right? That goes in Wall Street. That goes in real estate. The fundamentals are the key. If you focus on those fundamentals and stick to them, it's going to help you. It's not the perfect solution, because, you know, there's local market issues sometimes, but if you're just, you know, it could be a problem.
But you know, that's where your local real estate advisor should be, that person who ties the local market into those fundamentals. And so, for example, the county I live in, we are tapped out on water and sewer. There is no available capacity. And I had a developer call me. He wanted to do a few hundred apartment units, and he was trying to figure out how to get around that. And I said, dude, we are completely maxed out on our water and sewer capacity. You cannot put in apartments when we are maxed out. The infrastructure has to be changed first. He said, well, how do I get around it? And I'm like, are you even listening to me? Because he's coming from another marketplace where he's in the skids, and he's usually talking things through. And I'm like, there's no skids to grease. Now, if you've got $200 million to give to the county to help move the water and sewer project along faster, that will totally green light your project. And then he got really frustrated, and he called the WASAC, the Water and Sewer Authority, and he called me back. He's like, oh, you were right. I said, I live here. I work here. I do real estate. I'm not making shit up. But there's this something that goes along with the numbers for your apartments and the numbers for the land and the numbers for the building and the labor. That's all one picture. But if you don't wrap into that the infrastructure and the local elected official situation, you're never going anywhere. And I can't imagine making those kinds of investments without somebody on the ground who's completely dialed in, which is why that dude who's the mayor who owns the Grove, you want to be in good with him. He knows both sides of it.
Yeah. You know, there's one thing that you just pointed out. A lot of people probably didn't realize it. Lee, how many agents could have that guy spoke to that didn't know that about
99.9%.
It's like, that's the thing. We tell our agents, your value is in your knowledge. It's in the details. We're all headline readers, right? And
if that, you know,
everybody's a headline reader, but you got to read the details. And, you know, that's something that when I hear an agent having this kind of information, that's where your value is. And
I'm making myself a note that agents have to be no more TLDRs in their life.
TLVR?
TLDR, too long, didn't read. That's what they'll respond with if you send a long email, TLDR. I'm like, you are making my eyes bleed, but we can't have that attitude, right?
Yeah, it's something. You know,
look, your team is in the background. They heard me say TLDR, and they heard you not know what it is. They're laughing right now. I can
tell them I'm sorry for my ignorance. That is not, we're a smaller shop. We only have 14 agents. I can walk out here. You ever get one of these from your dad? Never mind. Ever get one of these things from your dad? You know, they'll thump upside the head.
Yeah, that hurts right behind your ear.
Yep.
There's a guy that used to sit behind us in church. He was an old guy. And if we moved, he would thump us.
Yeah.
You would behave.
Yeah, right about now. That was a joke, folks. Don't be writing myself for a lead. Nobody touches our agents. We do not touch our agents. That was a joke from...
I was gonna make a wildly inappropriate comment, but I'm gonna restrain myself.
You gotta remember, I'm from a town of in Nebraska, Wallback, Nebraska. So it's a town of 218 people. So you didn't. Everybody knew what you did by the time you got home on a Saturday night.
Well, yeah, you had already gotten thumped in the back of the head by four other people before you got home, and your daddy got the belt out because you embarrassed him for having get in trouble with other people. That's how it used to be.
Yeah, you go home and tell your dad that you did something and you got thumped by somebody else's dad. He goes, what'd you do? And you'd tell him, he goes, perfect. Glad he did it. You're like, shit.
Yeah,
backfired.
All right. So let's see. We're kind of rambling in 1,000 different directions. Joe, what are you buying right now? Like, if you're doing investing, what are you looking for in the market in this space?
We bought, we had multifamily in Dallas, Texas. We had a bunch of it. Yeah. And so we got offers that, you know, we plan on redeveloping it, right? We're going to tear it down and redevelop and rebuild. But we got offers that came in that were right about those numbers, and no risk. I could just cash out and go on. So we started just buying triple net assets with Chase Banks, Jack in the Boxes, stuff like that. My business partner, George, he's our CEO, actually. And that's what he specializes in. So he's doing a lot of triple net deals around the country. They're the most liquid commercial real estate investment because you can turn around and sell them pretty quickly.
Absolutely. And they don't land in places where they won't work. They're very thoughtful about the locations.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's really a lot of the legwork is done for you, right? Because they're going to be in a prime location. I mean, some stores, smaller stores, maybe not, but then you can get a corporate guarantee or a large franchisee to guarantee it. And let's say, we've had one that burned down. It was corporate guaranteed. So they just took that tenant or that property owner and moved them to another location that was better than the one they were in. Now, that doesn't happen very often. I'm not saying that if you invest, that will happen to you, but it can happen. And so
you didn't have to go through all the insurance and all that drama. They handle it all.
Yeah, the corporate took over it. Corporate took over it, moved it, rebuilt it, and then asked him if he wanted it back. And he goes, no, I just stay here. And they resold it. The franchisor, the company did very, very well with it, actually. So, yeah, we got a new store in the middle of it all.
I'm thinking, is that something I should write into my contracts? That if we burn to the ground, you'll move us to a better location?
Yeah, that'd be okay. I don't think it'll get accepted, but just make sure that the person, you know, the guarantee is strong.
You know what we say in the Women's Council of Realtors, the task is to ask. And if you do not ask, you will not receive. Just like if you want to play the lottery, if you do not play, you will not win.
I'm stealing that one. The task is the ask.
Task is the ask. That's right.
Jesus, I like that. Wrote that one down. I'm keeping it.
Look, there's my gift to you from the Women's Council of Realtors.
Tell them all thank you very much.
Oh, they're all going to be all over the comments on this one because they're like, that's our line. I know.
Well, I appreciate them.
All right, Joe. So somebody's looking to reach out to you, not just about commercial real estate in Orange County and LA County and beyond, but about your training resources and all those fun pieces. What's the best way for them to do? Just go to joekillinger.co.
That's right behind me. Yep. joekillinger.co. And you can
not
see
the
it there.
Put an M on it. You got a backspace, right?
No M's. Just joekillinger.co. We couldn't afford the M. So,
you got to be consistent about what you're doing.
Times are tough. You know, joekillinger.co, or you can call me 310-943-8542. And the website, if you're wanting to get into real estate, it's more geared toward commercial, but there are books that are great to read. If you go on there, they're all recommended. I've just put on Twitter this morning about CRMs for places to get your license. So I've got a bunch of tweets I got to respond to. It's amazing to me in our industry, more so now than years ago, how everybody's willing to help everybody else. And so I put that tweet out this morning, and then I had a panic mode before I got on it because I saw how many tweets I wanted to respond to. I respond back to everybody. And it's amazing. It's an amazing industry. And, you know, I'm really fortunate that this is where my path led me.
So. Well, if you decide you're willing to receive it, there are people out there that will tell you everything they've ever figured out, but you have to receive it. So that's a gift there too.
Yeah. Very thankful.
All right. Well, thanks for showing up on the show on a Friday afternoon. Go take the Blazer off and enjoy the rest of your California afternoon. And y'all can go visit him. All the links are in the show notes for this episode. So if you didn't figure out how to spell Kellinger and you forgot to screenshot it, it's all right. I got you, friends. And make sure you click on some other links. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you, Lee.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.